Blog Talk Radio.
Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Katie Lee of TripleCrownChondra.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our host, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. Before we go any farther, I want to get rid of this echo.
Yes,
somebody has their sound up on their computer, and it's showing the delay that Blog Talk Radio gives us. Everybody's computer sound off?
My computer's muted.
All right.
Yep, I'm muted.
You're muted, too. We may have to reacquire because this is not going to work here. And so we have to say, Miss Aida, who is not near a computer, is your phone making sound? Because
no.
If you're listening on a phone, no. Okay.
Is it possible
we
to
have
mute
a prob-
it?
Is
possible
it possible to mute
phone?
It? Yes, everyone says automatically muted. So I would. This is not going to work. So it's a Mercury retrograde, folks. I'm going to leave it to our board op. What do you want to do? Do you want to call in and reacquire the show? Because we can't go like this.
We can do that. We could also have everyone call back, and I'll pick them all up, including me.
Okay. I'm sorry for the delay, folks. This is Mercury retrograde at its worst. How about this? How about we take people off one at a time, you stay on, and we'll see if it's still echoing. Okay? So how about this? Miss Aida, please hang up.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. Now let's see if it's still echoing. Guess what? It's not echoing.
I just pulled myself off the mute. All right, Miss Kat.
Okay. It was Miss Aida. Okay. So, through back channel, I hope that Nagashiva will get with Miss Aida and we can figure out that technical problem. And now I will return us to our regular scheduled program. I'll tell you something. They don't pay us enough to go through this nonsense when Mercury is retrograde. Right, Conjurman Ali?
I swear. Filled Mercury. You
but,
gotta
you know,
it.
You can kind of, you see it coming down the road. Mercury went retrograde, and I said to somebody, some screwy thing happened with the computers, and I said to somebody, we got the echo back. That means we've reacquired Miss Aida, right?
That's correct.
That's correct. We got a problem.
Okay.
We're
going
to have to deal with
it.
Okay, you don't talk, Miss Aida. Just
sorry.
Thank you.
If I mute Miss Aida, we won't hear an echo.
All righty. But that's going to be a problem when she does come on.
Right.
So
well,
we need
can
to
try
find
her,
out if you
let's...
Okay.
Perhaps a different phone.
I want to go forward, and I don't want to sit around and talk tech messes while we're here. Okay, we only got so much time. Let's spend it having fun and not dealing with the drags. As I was saying, I told somebody a couple of days ago when there was a whole huge technical problem, Mercury retrograde, and she looked at me and she said, I thought it already did that. And I said, it does it many times, over and over. She goes, oh, I thought that only happened once in your life. I'm telling you, I had to laugh. I had to say, no, sweetheart, it happens many times in your life for 3 weeks at a time.
Common retrograde.
Just, yeah, yeah. It is the most common retrograde, and we just need to communicate with Masaida. If we cannot have her on, we will carry on by ourselves, but we cannot have a conversation with that degree of echo on it. It's not fair to our listeners, to ourselves, to our callers. So we'll get see what's up with that, and I know that Ms. Tammy Lee and Nagashiva will work on that while they can. So, having put that aside, and Nagashiva says we can talk with her only when she is not muted. Well, then we can't talk with her at all because we cannot, I can't hear it. It's just echo, 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 echo.
Perhaps if she can hear my voice, she can call in from another phone and Nagashiva can pick her up.
Yeah, she needs to call from a different phone. And she needs to be muted. I mean, we don't usually have this problem. If we cannot have it, we cannot have it. And Professor Ames, that cheerful, cheerful Professor Ames, one of our wonderful professors of hoodoo, says Mercury retrogrades 3 or 4 times a year. Thank you for that reminder, Professor Ames. All right. Well, we suffer on. So. Let's just pretend that never happened. And while they try to get it worked out or tell me that they cannot get it worked out, either one way or the other, then I will just, we'll just be the two of us for today if we have to. So we've been having a nice week here at Lucky Mojo. We've been doing a lot of work catching up. We were, you know, when we have these Hoodoo Heritage Festivals in May, we always get behind a little bit on our packing and shipping because we're serving so many people in the shop. 100 people in the shop in a weekend is a lot, and many more than we usually have. So, and they all come with their big year-long order that they want to make. So we're scrambling, and that leaves us a little bit behind on our mail orders. So we're just starting to catch up. It's been a little over a month since the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. It takes us a minimum of a month and a maximum of a month and a half to get back to square one on the mail order stuff. We don't hire temporary people. People have said, why don't you just hire some temp helpers? Well, honey, you explain to me, how can you hire a temp helper to bless and dress a candle? They don't even know what you're talking about. How can you hire a temp helper to make oils that are all handmade and prayed over? You can't. So we have a very extensive training program for our workers. They all take my Hoodoo Rootwork Correspondence course for starters. They all apprentice with me for 3 weeks before they can make things in the shop. They can serve customers before they do that, but they cannot make anything. So we are doing the best we can. We are full up with employees right now. We've done some hiring, and we're doing very well with that regard, but we do just have to work. So please be patient. If you've placed an order, we're doing the best we can. If it's something urgent, you can call up and ask for your order to be split or for part of your order to be refunded if it wasn't important to get that part. The best orders to make in the month of May and June, our order is for one type of product only, by which I mean all oils, all bath crystals, all incense powders, because when we make them, because of the way we make them in groups, it's easier to set up all incense powders all day, next day all bath crystals, and we'll get to yours faster that way. But if you order one bath crystal, one oil, one incense, one candle, and one amulet, and one book, it's going to take more days to do that. So, just a word to the wise. All right. So, I hear from we've got Miss Aida back. She's live. She's on, and she called from a different number, and we unmuted her, and she's fine. Yay. All right. Well, let me turn this over for a moment to Conjure Man Ollie before we bring Miss Aida on. So how are things in your world down there? I know you're, as usual, hard at work doing conjure root work for your clients.
I am. It's been busy, and, you know, you're right. The Hoodoo Heritage Festival does kind of, you play catch-up a little bit, but that's the price to pay for an amazing weekend. And it's funny that if you bring up the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, I got a couple emails from people who attended and who were at the road opening ceremony, and then they got the talismans, and the things that they were waiting on, I had one person who was waiting on a job that they were really, really looking forward to get, and another person was having some difficulties with some financial situations and the IRS. Well, it turns out that everything went smoothly for them, and they attribute that to the road opening ceremony, which is really awesome. So I was happy to hear that it's already opening roads for people, and I got these two emails with this great feedback, so it was awesome. For people who are interested in seeing some photos of it, I have posted a few of the photos on the House of Kimbanda Facebook page, and it's facebook.com/House of Kimbanda, and I'll post it in the chat. If you're interested in seeing it, it's got, all credit goes out to Coastside Conjure, who took some fantastic photos. And you can see the ceremony itself. There's pictures of everyone there. But great news from that, and I'm happy to report that people are seeing some good effects.
That's fantastic. That's really amazing to know. Those little charms and amulets. And I've also heard from a couple of people who took your class in making guardians and were equally impressed with the work that was done. I've also heard some very, very good reports back on Apollo Dark's class on road opening versus blockbusting. What's the difference? They were very impressed with that course. And we still have flyers left over from that. So if you order from Lucky Mojo and you want to order our new line of Blockbuster products, which I should say it's new, it's an old formula, but it was one of those things, it wasn't something like I felt moved to make, and all of a sudden Apollo says, how come you don't make it? I'm like, forgot? Nobody asked? So we have a Blockbuster line now. And we've gotten tremendous numbers of orders for Blockbuster products. People are going crazy ordering it.
They're
when you order Blockbuster products, they are becoming a favorite. That's for darn sure. He has two really good spells on that flyer that he did. It will be part of the next Black Folder collection book, or whatever we're going to call it, Black Folder 2, Son of Black Folder, Black Folder 2, The Return, Revenge of the Black Folder. I don't know what we're going to call it. Anyway, that book will be coming out, but that book won't be out for 2 or 3, 4 years because we need to get more stuff in it. So what you want to do is when you order Blockbuster products, put in the message area when you sign up for them in your credit card, there's a little message area, and say, please send me Apollo Dark's Road Opener Blockbuster Flyer. It's free, totally free. You can just say, send me the Blockbuster free flyer. Everybody knows what it is. It's bright orangey, salmon-colored. It's pretty good. And it's very helpful. And it's just one of those things that, everybody loved that workshop. Things have been come out of this festival as usual. There's things go in all different directions because of it, and that was a great direction to take things. Return of the Blockbuster formula.
There were amazing workshops. It's great hearing feedback, not just on my own, but hearing about everyone's, because this workshop, I think, this festival more than any, really put together some amazing, amazing classes. In the past, we've had great classes, but I think this year really took kind of cake. I can't think of a single workshop that I didn't learn something in, right? And that's saying something. It shows the quality of information that was presented, the quality of things that people walked away from it. And I, the buzz about every class has been positive so far, so I'm very happy to hear that. I enjoyed Apollo's workshop a great deal. And I can tell you that this was by far my favorite year, and I'm not just saying that because I did throw the big ceremony, but sincerely, it was my favorite year. Every class was amazing, and every day was fun. I think I walked away a little tired because I had so much fun, and that's how great the workshop was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a really good workshop. So, all righty. Well, we're going to bring on our guest since we've got her finally squared away here, and that is our dear, lovely Miss Aida. So welcome, Miss Aida. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Kat. How are you?
We're doing fine, and I'm glad that all of that mishigas is all over with. Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, it is what it is. It's, you never know what it's going to be every time it's some little something, not your fault. Okay. So now what we would like to do is introduce you properly and say a little bit about who you are and what you're doing. Miss Aida is a member of AIR. She has been a wonderful helper on the Lucky Mojo forum. A lot of you guys know her through the forum. And she also is a moderator, one of the most active moderators at the Lucky Mojo forum. So a lot of people know Miss Aida and know how intelligent she is, how helpful she is, and what a dynamic healing vibe that she projects. So I'm very happy to have you on the show, dear. And tell us what you've been up to since the last time we talked.
Well, as you know, I'm always with my dogs and always doing that sport, the Schützen sport. So that's what I'm doing right now. And, you know, I'm working a lot with skull candles. I just love them.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I've been doing.
Well, that's going to be our panel discussion today.
Okay.
Is going to be on skull candles. But I have a question for you before we get to that. Let me know. You posted something on your AIR page that really had a wonderful effect on me. I just thought it was delightful. It was a picture of work with St. Francis with dog assistants or dog helpers.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of comments on that. People are like, wow, she actually uses dogs as helpers in working with St. Francis, who is one of several patron saints of animals. And so I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about that before we go on to our actual panel discussion, if I may.
Certainly.
Question, and these are on behalf of clients. Right? Question number one, were those dogs specially trained, or is this that their natural inclination? In other words, we know you're a dog trainer.
That's their natural inclination.
They just wanted
to help. That's their natural inclination. It always has been. Whenever I've done root work, anything, my dogs have always been eager to assist me. And when I started working with St. Francis years and years ago, they would automatically come and they would show me that they wanted to be associated with the statue. So from that point on, I do my novenas to St. Francis of Assisi on the floor, and they eagerly sit around and assist me. And I will be honest with you, I get better results when the dogs come in.
Wow.
I get faster results. I had a friend whose dog was totally crippled, and he spent thousands upon thousands of dollars, and he was asking us for our prayers. And it was so funny because my friend is Jewish, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to pray to this. And I was so upset because I loved his dog. And he's like, no, you've got to do St. Francis of Assisi. It was so funny because a Jewish man is reminding a Catholic woman. And we did novena, the four of us, you know, the three dogs and myself, we did the novena for 9 days, and that dog is walking now. He's walking.
Wow.
So I just think, you know, I don't think. I know that my dogs are bringing in power. He's associating, St. Francis of Assisi is associating with my dogs.
Wow. That is beautiful. That's amazing. Well, you know, people in the chat room are commenting on this too. Coastside Conjure says, Miss Aida has helped me working with St. Francis a few times. Tammy Lee says there are dogs that help with other ways, you know, from sight, PTSD, you know, anxiety, seizure dogs. We all know about those. But this is prayer dogs. I guess you could call them prayer dogs. And K.S. Witten says, so beautiful. Thanks for all you do. And yeah, that is an amazing thing, the prayer dog team. I love hearing about these things. We're all such individual people as workers. All of us have our own little ways of doing things. And what is most touching to me about that is that you put the statue of St. Francis on the floor so that the dogs can do the novena with you. You know, and St. Francis would have loved that because he was so humble.
Yes, he's a great
When I was young, I was told no point in putting St. Francis up. You know, if you have a little thing in your home with like lots of saints and they go up higher and higher, don't put St. Francis at the top. They said put him at the bottom. He wants to be on the bottom. So that is that's lovely. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Like I said, we had a lot of questions about it. As soon as you joined AIR, people were asking about it. And, of course, you do work for animals, as we know. There are other workers at AIR who do. But if someone wants to request a novena to St. Francis with dog assistance, I'm telling you, I believe that Miss Aida is probably the only worker in the United States who can do that. And say, you know, and say that with truth and honesty and sincerity. That's what she does, and there's photos to prove it. Conjurman Ali mentioned something. Saint Martin de Porres is another great saint for animals. He sometimes is considered to be a veterinarian saint, and he also works with many domestic animals. And some people also say Saint Rocco. Because he
Saint
was helped by animals.
Saint of Dogs.
Saint Lazarus. Saint Lazarus has two dogs that accompany him. So we could have an all-dog saints all the time altar. Saint Francis, in many places, is associated, particularly with his Sermon to the Birds, and he's associated with birds. And
right.
But all animals. Yeah.
I was trying
very
to slip
wonderful.
In Martin de Porres, but I decided just to type this to the chat.
Yeah. Well, Martin de Porres, and St. Francis, Nagashiva points out in the chat, St. Francis is also shown with a wolf very often, and sometimes with a deer, wild animals. Martin de Porres is some people have claimed that he was actually the first person who operated an animal hospital in a formal sense, not just being an animal healer or a person who could set bones on animals, but who had an animal hospital where people brought people to have their animals, brought animals to have them helped. And he was he lived in Lima, Peru, and he on his time off from working in the people hospital, apparently he had a sister, and they set up a little veterinary clinic at his sister's house, and people, this is back in the 1500s, I believe. Is that correct, Ali?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he is sometimes said to be the first person who had an actual veterinary clinic in an urban environment. A wonderful saint. You might introduce him to your Schutzhund.
Yes, definitely, because I have the other saints that you've mentioned. I have St. Lazarus, who is my father in Palo, Babaluaye, and I have St. Rocco. So I need to get acquainted with St. Martin de Porres. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, he was also the first black man canonized as a saint. He's always shown with a dog, a cat, a bird, and a rat. And I have a lot of friends who raise pet rats. And St. Martin de Porres, they call him the rat saint. He's the saint of pet rats. He was not, there's a story told about him. I don't know if it's true or not, hon, but there's a story told about him. The reason there's all these little animals there is that they're different species that he helped. But he saw a rat that had been caught in a trap, and he felt, you know, because they were eating the grain and all. And he felt so sorry for this rat. It had a broken leg. And he made a tiny little cast for this little rat, and he healed it.
Listen to that. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. He was a very compassionate guy. And then the four animals have come to represent, among Peruvians, four races or four ethnicities of people who live in Peru. There are the indigenous people, the European immigrants, the African immigrants, and the Asian immigrants. Peru has a fairly high Asian population. And so he didn't have anything to do with that, but they have kind of identified those four species of animals as saying a St. Martin de Porres, who's the patron saint of Peru, that St. Martin cares for us all. Anyway, sorry, that was just a little... I'm real fond of him.
St. Martin de Porres
for
is
many,
also
many
associated with, you know, he's the patron saint of people who come from a mixed race background, so...
That's right, he was... That's right. He's of mixed race. He also was a pharmacist, and he was a very humble man, like St. Francis, although I think he was a Benedictine. But like St. Francis, he was humble, and he's often shown with a broom sweeping the hospital because even though, you know, he received, you know, medical training, he believed in keeping the hospital clean himself. He didn't want to give nurses or janitors the job, so he always sweeps up the hospital.
Wow. I'm sold. I got to get to know him. Got to.
Yeah, you do. You got to. St. Martin de Porres, lovely man. Well, now that was a side trip, wasn't it? But I'll tell you why it's okay. We don't have very many sign-ups today for our reading, so we just may chat a little bit longer than usual, if that's okay.
Great.
And because it's a Father's Day, and I think, you know, people have gone off with their dads, you know, down to Sturgeon Seam Sawmill and watch the logs be sawn up by 19th century technology or whatever the heck they're doing out there. So we really have a little bit of spare time, and we're just going to, you know, just talk a little bit. So let's, instead of going to our next reading, let's talk about skull candles, and we'll you know, hold back and do that one reading that we have signed up and see what else we have to talk about. So skull candles. Let me make an introduction, and then we'll get into talking about them. Skull candles go back quite a ways in urban root work. They probably derive from a number of sources. The use of the skull as an artifact has been around in many, many cultures, Native American, Irish. There is ancestor veneration in Africa. There is a lot of thought about the skull as a way to contact a spirit. The idea of casting candles in the form of skulls is more recent, and it comes from the early 20th century when molds and cast candles started to come in. And, of course, shortly thereafter, we started having the different colors, you know, white, you know, beeswax or, quote, natural color, black, red, green, so forth. And you can make a skull candle in almost any color. The most common are white, green, red, and black. You can find them in purple, blue, and other colors, pink. It's just a question of how many candles the maker wants to make in each color. And stock, you know, some stores don't want to stock that many different colors. Color symbolism of candles is another urban hoodoo development and derives in part from European and classical era colors associated with stones, which were associated with different symbolic things and so forth and so on, with American modifications. So skull candles, the first ones I've seen offered for sale back in the 30s maybe. They came in around the same time as a few other kind of candles that were popular at that same time. The witch candle, the mummy candle, the so-called idol or image candle, the baby doll candle. And these candles were often made by taking molds from other objects. And in the case of the skull, it's associated with Halloween. And there were chocolate manufacturers who made chocolate skulls. So there were, of course, the Mexican sugar skull type of thing, which is a slightly different looking skull. It's very decorated and not so natural looking. And so these molds pass into candle making. It's very easy to take a chocolate mold and make a candle mold out of it, and vice versa. So you see these starting to appear in catalogs of the 1930s, and they were not common by any means until the 1940s. And when the Master Book of Candle Burning came out in 41, and Henri Gamache's influence was astounding on urban hoodoo, and also when Mikhail Strabo's various books on candles came out, and Louis de Clermont's Legends of Incense, Urban Oil Magic in 1936, they were the first ones who began to mention these figural candles. And the skull candles, even up until the early 60s, were not easy to find. Not every maker used the same mold. They're all different makers have their own molds. And the size of them varies. They can be very diminutive. I've seen little skull candles out of Bolivia that are, so small I could put my entire hand around them and hide them in my hand. You wouldn't see them. But they are little tiny miniature skull candles. And they're black wax, and they come from Bolivia. So there are many different types of skull candles. There's the large life-size one, as big as a human skull. That's kind of a showpiece. Not too many people would burn them, you know, because it's a lot of money for that much casting and wax and cleanup. But once you have a skull candle, you can do a lot of things with it. And the chief things that are done is to use the skull as a representation of an individual. So what we're going to talk about today will be things like loading the skull candle, dressing it, fixing it, preparing it, what kind of petitions and prayers to say over a skull candle, and what kind of spells are appropriate for a skull candle. So I'm going to having made this introduction, I'm going to turn this over to you, Aida, our guest. Tell us how you work with skull candles, and then, Ali, you can chime in as well, okay?
Okay. Well, I've been working with skull candles for a while, but one day I got an email from Nutmeg Ohoyo, and she sent mm-hmm. me a diagram of the brain. And I thought, wow, this is really awesome, right? How to work with skull candles utilizing my nursing knowledge. And it absolutely made sense, you know. I've been loading candles according to what I want the target to do. So if, for instance, the frontal lobe, the front part where the forehead, that area, okay, for emotions, if I want somebody to have emotions of love, I would load the candle in that area. And I use a drill. I use a drill for this.
A drill? Whoa, Back up. Miss Aida uses a drill on her skull candles. Folks, that's, may I just ask, is it a power drill or a hand brace and bit?
Oh, golly, you're asking the wrong person.
Well, I mean,
just a little itty-bitty hole.
But you're using a drill, you mean like with a gear that you turn? Or is it like you plug it in the wall and brrr?
You plug it in the wall.
Holy moly. What color is it? Is it like a
Miss Cat,
teal blue? Is it like a Makita cordless power drill?
It's not named until afterwards.
Oh, I know. You're just blowing my mind here. She drills her, wow. Wow. Ali, come on. Did that blow your mind? Come on. Didn't that blow your mind? Miss Aida uses a power drill on her skull candles. Come on, folks.
Just
okay.
So I can get a little herbs in there or a little petition paper in there. If I want emotions, if I want love, that's what I do. If I want the person to see something, I will put pictures into the eye sockets, right? I will also, for visual, and I will talk about this with the free spell, visual is also controlled by the back of the head. So the eyes see, but the back of the head interprets what it sees. So if I want the person to see something, I will put the pictures of what I want the person to see and then the idea in the back of the head. Just little holes, little tiny holes. We're not going to annihilate the candle, right? Just a quarter of an inch or so, maybe even less. You know, sometimes you can even dig it out a little bit with a spoon, and there you go. If you and
you still have me going with the drill, man. Okay, can I just say something? I'm so old school. I was taught to take a nail or an old screwdriver and heat it up red hot in a gas stove and just take the red hot screwdriver and plunge it into the skull. But a drill never occurred to me, ever.
It's time consuming, Kat. Get it done in a second with a drill.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's fun. It's fun and it's easy. It doesn't require any skill. I mean, if I can do it, the entire planet can do it. Trust me on that, because I know nothing about tools and hardware or anything. I can't even tell you the name of my drill. So let me tell you that some of the spells I've performed, that even the suggestions that I've given to the skull candle have come out in verbiage from the target. That's how effective it is. I'd like to quote Conjure Man Ali, if you don't mind, Conjure Man Ali. I stole this from the Black Book.
Sure.
Skull candles are arguably one of the most potent tools of the conjure worker, for they are containers that can hold a spirit, and they can be direct links to a person's mind. I mean, that is just so profound and so true. And I am here to tell you this works. It works.
Wow.
And when you're utilizing the anatomy of the brain, you know, and what type of effect you want to manifest, wow, great stuff.
Well, I'm telling you that the chat room is going wild here. Someone's talking about Dremel. Someone's talking about trepanning. And Coastside Conjure says, I use my old surgical tools to bore holes into my candles. I'm sorry. This is like so off the wall. Well, Ali, you're right, and quoting him is good. Ali wrote a wonderful article on skull candles and taught a tremendous workshop on skull candles at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. So, Ali, let's bring you in. Tell us, you know, what you do, how you do it. I know you don't use power drills.
I love this topic. It's a great topic. Skull candles are so cool. I wish more people would use them. And they have taken off in popularity, which is really interesting. I think it's probably the largest thread at the Lucky Mojo Forum in the candle section, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think it is the largest. Yeah. It's a fascinating way to work. I love what Miss Aida said. The idea of putting herbs at different areas to affect certain things, that is a great way of working. I do the same thing, but from a different direction. It's not loading according to anatomy. I'll work on certain things. So, for example, I tend to work skull candles before I light them for a long period of time. I'll take oils and I will soothingly rub the oils into the head as I whisper into the skull candle's ear, telling it what I want to hear. And I'll do that several nights. And the reason I say nights is I prefer to do my skull candles right when a person is asleep, because when a person is asleep, their defenses are down. Now, if I can time it properly, and it involves a little bit of skill in scrying, I will time it to when they're just about to fall asleep. That liminal state, right, where you're not fully asleep yet, but you're not awake either. It's a bit tricky. It takes a skill in scrying, knowing the person's habits a bit. But that's the ideal time. If you can't do that while the person's asleep, The other thing I do is I will actually carve in certain parts of the skull. So if I want them to see something, I will carve what I want them to see right into the eyes. If I want them to smell something, I will carve it there. Or I will put a scent underneath there. I once had a neighbor, long, long time ago, when I was a young conjureling, not afraid to use my power in slightly less ethical ways. And this neighbor annoyed the hell out of me. And I didn't want to do anything harmful to them. So what I did is I made a skull candle. I made a skull candle, and I took some asafoetida and vandalroot, and I made it, and I put it underneath the nose of the skull candle. And I would work that day in and day out. And I drove this poor person nuts because they could not identify the smell.
Brilliant.
And so skull candles can be worked in that fashion, and they're great in that way. I lit the candle, and I can tell you one thing, that that neighbor went away very quickly.
Wow. Well, see, now here we've come up with two different theories, and I want to talk about this for a minute because it's very interesting. Aida's, you know, power tools in the skull, trepanation, anatomically correct, nurses' root work, I mean, whatever, I'm still mind blown by it, honey. That is to insert things into the skull. Ollie's method is more like working a doll baby.
Mm-hmm.
So he's oiling the skull, he's whispering into the skull, he's putting things for the skull to smell, and the skull is being used in much in the way that you would manipulate a doll baby. I'm going to tell you that I do a little bit of both, and a kind of combination. It's really a way that I was taught, based on not a skull candle, but using a different kind of candle, just a regular old a jumbo type or pillar candle. But I adapted it to a skull candle and found it to be very useful. And that is to heat up pins or needles and dip them into warm oil. So you heat them each one up red hot, and you then stab it into the head. I liked pins. I would drive them all in. And it ends up looking like that old Clive Barker character, Pinhead. If you leave the pins sticking out a little bit, you can drive them all the way in. And that doesn't have to be done for evil, like, you know, the idea that you would drive them mad by sticking pins in their head. You can drive them mad with love by sticking pins that have been heated and then dressed in a love oil and putting those in just as well. Before I do this, I always load the candle from below by cutting out a little divot and putting in something of the person. And I save that wax that I took out, the little divot, which I use a knife for, no drills. But truly, I'm going to be thinking about drills now for the rest of the day. But a little sharp paring knife or pocket knife. I use a Schrade Walden pocket knife, vintage, and I just cut, and this little divot, you know, scrolls, the wax just scrolls out. Save that wax, and then use a spoon that's an older stainless steel spoon, nothing special, and just melt the wax in a big tablespoon over the gas heat, and then pour it back in again. That works for me. You know, I can put a hair in there. I can put a name paper. I tend to not want to put in anything too much. A little bit of herbs that I will reduce to a powder. Or if I don't have a hair, I might take a name, write it on paper, burn it, take that ash powder and so forth, and you know, use that as a symbol. Red clover can be used as a symbol of a person who you don't have their hair or their, you know, concerns. So I load the candle below, and usually these candles have a place that's flat on the bottom, which is about where the neck would be, and that's where I will put that at the base. But I also will do on the eyes, I will, when I start the pins in, if the candle is for something of ill intention, I always start with pins in the eyes, which is comes out of doll baby work. You know, right? You start with pins in the eyes. You cannot see what I do. And then pins in the ears. You cannot hear what I do. No one will speak of it to you. And then pins in the nose. You can't smell the oils or herbs I'm using. And then pins in the mouth. If you even speak of this, no one will believe you. So you seal up the doll. But I don't do that if it's for love. This would be for a hateful spell. And I'm sealing the doll inside its own head, kind of locking the person into it. Then I start working on it, you know. Now, I have been known to work with skull candles in a way that is non-typical. For instance, and this comes out of some older style work, again, thinking of the skull as a doll baby, if you, say, want to drive somebody crazy, you can actually take and dress the candle, work with it, do all those things, do like Ali said, work at night, when you think they're asleep and get into their dreams and mess with them. But you can also take a hatchet. I use a style of hatchet called a boy's axe, which is a short-handled axe. It's not a little hand hatchet. It's an axe made for a child. And so I use a boy's axe because I'm a very small woman. And I will take the skull candle and put it on a chopping block, that is to say a section of tree which has vertical grain outdoors, light it on fire, and then just whack at it, and it'll give you a resounding split right down the middle. If you have good aim, you can actually put the flame out. If you're in an inflammable area, you know, in California in the wildfire season, be careful, because you might have not put the flame out. You don't want everything catching on fire around you. But it's also interesting to see if you don't manage to put the flame out, what's going to happen. And you can watch, you know, you get signs from that. I then began, because of the California wildfire issue, I did one of these, and I thought it was August, and it was during a drought back in the 70s, and I thought, you know, if I light this, and I might have a conflagration, so I'm just not going to light it. So I didn't light it, and in fact, I spat on the wick and just sort of stroked the wick upward, like, you know, like, there you go. And then I split it, and I found that I didn't even need to use it as a candle. I was using it as a kind of a, I guess you could call it a representation, a sculpture, a statue. So candles can be used that way, too. In other words, there are spells where you take a figural, you know, doll spell and cut its head off or its arms or whatever. And so it's using it as a doll. So I've used skull candles in a non-candle context. So,
I like it. That's brilliant,
yeah.
Too. So you're
well,
interested
thank
in
you.
My drill. We could make a movie. We could make a horror movie.
Right. Torturing skulls. And then Ollie too. Is...
Hello.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Okay. Kat? Hello?
I think we lost Kat.
Oh, we lost Kat. Okay.
Okay, well, I will continue briefly while we get Kat back on. What I was mentioning in the chat was that I thought that was brilliant that Kat mentioned, is that actually you burn a skull candle sometimes from both ends, and what I do is I put it in a pan. This is obviously for if you want to make someone lose their mind a bit or lose their cool. I light the skull candle and also turn on the heat so that it melts from both ends, and the candle will cool really quickly. But it's a very efficient way of making someone lose their cool. Like, let's say you want to make a coworker lose their cool at work, or you want to cause someone to really slip up. That's a really great way of doing this. I don't know why I like fire so much. Maybe they have a lot of fire in my chart, but melting skull candles in that direction works really well. And hopefully,
between the three of us, we could do some damage.
Well, skull candle work is like doll baby work, quite, I would say, lethal when it comes to its ability. Skull candles have a way of getting into the mind. And whenever you attack the mind, there's potentials of really doing some serious damage. So be careful when you're working with skull candles and you're using them to curse. I often use skull candles when I'm doing cursing work with a little bit of trying to dial it back. You know, I try to make people confess with skull candles, right? Versus trying to curse them, because causing insanity is something, I don't know, you know, the line that should rarely be crossed. But there are times for it, and I have done it. Another little trick that I do for getting people to confess is putting salt, loading the skull candle with salt, loading it with deer's tongue, getting a parrot feather in there, and then carving out the mouth and putting in deer's tongue. And that will get people to talk and just spill their guts. And you can use a white skull candle for that. You light that, you work it over a period, tell me the truth, what really happened, tell me your secret, and people will do so. It's a great way of getting people to give you information or getting someone to confess. Do you do anything like that?
Ooh, brilliant.
Talk.
Yeah. To get them to confess, what kind of oil would you use on that candle?
I use compelling or commanding oil or something like that. And if I'm really getting, you know, I need to up the ante, I use domination oil.
Like it. Love it.
Kat says that she is back in. Hopefully Navi Shiva is able to make her live.
Well, can I answer one question? I heard there was a question in the chat room about breathing.
Mm-hmm.
There still seems to be a problem. Sorry, hold on a moment. Go ahead and keep talking. I'm going to try and get Miss Kat in.
Okay. I'm text messaging now, because I don't have access to a computer right now, but somebody in the chat room asked about breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the base of the skull, at the back, at the bottom, is the medulla oblongata. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So at the bottom base, underneath where, you know, where the skull starts to end and then the neck begins, is the medulla oblongata.
Mm-hmm.
And that controls breathing, it controls respirations, and it controls heart. And I would suggest putting healing oil in that area. Continentally, do you have any herbs that you would suggest for that also?
You know, Althea is particularly good for healing. You can also put any type of, you know, bay leaf is another one that I use a lot. Bay leaf is an interesting herb, too, because bay leaf is associated with the mind. It's a solar herb. It's a healing herb. It's also protective. But it has a very strong connection with the mind. And in my workshop, actually, I taught people to write their command or their petition rather than using a petition paper to write on the bay leaf itself and then load that into the skull candle. So if you don't want to use a petition paper, you can actually use a bay leaf in that fashion. Other leaves will work as well. For example, for love work, if you can get a large enough violet leaf, you can write onto the violet leaf and load that into the skull candle. So little ways of mixing herbal magic with candles. Ms. Kat says she's trying to be her, so let's see if she's back on. Kat, are you there?
I'm here. I guess Ms. Kat isn't here yet.
Ms. Aida is there. I'm here, but we're missing our lovely Kat.
Yeah. So again, I'd like to elaborate also when you were saying that you will write the petition on the bay leaf. Mm-hmm. I find that the lovage root, you know, for love spells, that Lucky Mojo cells, they're nice and big.
Yeah,
and
they are.
I like to write on those slices for love spells.
Right. I do with commanding work or compelling work. The licorice root that you get from Lucky Mojo is also sliced in nice julienne fashion that gives you a little surface to write on. And I use that, and I will load it. Now, the one thing I wanted to mention about skull candles that should be mentioned. When you're loading herbs into skull candles, and Kat briefly mentioned this, you want to be a little careful about how much you load. A skull candle has a lot of wax, and that wick will burn all the way kind of down to the bottom. And if you loaded a lot of herbs, like I've sometimes put a whole licorice stick in there, what will happen is it will light the herbs on fire, or it will cause like another wick to form. I had a licorice root act as a secondary wick, and it let the herb go, like the candle go for like an extra 24 hours. But you want to be careful because it's also a way, it's also a way of causing fires and things like that. But there are different types of skull candles. There's some smaller ones that can burn down in a period of a few hours. Then there's some bigger ones that have the skull bones, you know, down at the bottom. And those ones can last, you know, a good 24 hours.
Right. Yeah, I've had a couple of accidents with petition papers. So I've learned to make the petition papers very small because they too act as wicks. So I'm very careful with that. Very careful with that because, you know, I had a friend that had a fire, you know, with a skull candle, and it was taller than she was. So Yeah. You got to be careful with these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Powerful way of working. Kat is, I think she's back in, I think.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you
now. Yes, we can. Welcome back.
Welcome back. We sold it on as best we could without you.
Yeah, well, I could hear you guys most of the time unless I was kicked out. I was being kicked out, and at one point I called back in, and it said the number was unavailable, which is...
He's also a trickster. He doesn't just mess up communication. He's also a little bit of a trickster.
Yeah, well, see, I said bad things about Mercury Retrograde earlier on, and then I got to be a hoist by my own petard, as it were. Yeah. How are we doing for time? I believe we still have a caller, maybe, that we're going to be able to check. Yeah, we do? Okay, good. So is Ms. Tammy Lee here? No. That was a big no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
This is so funny that it's fun.
My.
All righty. Gosh, now what? Let's punt.
Well, we have Gail from 401, Nagashiva says, on the line, ready to go.
All right.
That's right. Well, she can be connected right now.
Okay, Gail 401 and see what happens. A very simple question, and if we can get her, we'll talk.
Hello?
Hi, Gail.
How are you?
Thanks for hanging in with us. This is
no problem. It was very interesting.
Okay. Well, you called in with a very simple request for a reading. It says, never had a reading via this radio show, but I'm going to ask you, have you ever had a reading with anyone before?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
I've had many, many readings, and I do, you know, some mystical work myself, and, you know, I'm a big fan of Lucky Mojo and your products and books, and I have quite a bit of that. So I wouldn't say I'm, you know, super skilled, but, you know, I have a little working knowledge.
All righty. Well, Gail's question is very simple. She says, I'm at a crossroads trying to decide what the next step is, ... So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions before we go to the reading for you. Question number one is, when you say you're at a crossroads, you know, it could be so many things, spiritual, economic, social, matrimonial, we don't know. So we're going to leave it the way you said it, but I would like to ask a couple of questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
Cancer.
Boy, you know, I could have won $50 on that bet. And I'm going to tell you all why, and Professor Ames will understand this, and so will some of the other astrologers. It is my experience that when a person writes a very brief intro like this to their question and doesn't want to put their business in the street, they're almost always a Cancer. Cancers are private people, and they'll let you discover their situation, but they often will not offer. Not that they're trying to hold back, it's just they just don't blab, right? And Professor Ames says Mercury is retrograding in Cancer. So you're a Cancer. And about how old are you? What decade of your life are you in?
I'm almost 37. I'm 36.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yes. Okay. So we're going to do a little bit of a reading for you. And I guess I'll start this off. You're at a crossroads in life and want to know what your next step is. Open up my tarot cards here, and I'm just going to do a three-card cut. And the first card is the Knight of Cups. Well, that's real appropriate for sure. The Knight of Cups is a person who's been through a dry time, is on a horse holding a cup or a golden goblet, who is moving forward, but at a stately walk, not rushing, not hanging back. There has been some hardship, but there is coming a time of easing of the difficulties. The person has come to a little river. The horse can be watered. The cup, which is drying up, can be refilled. The cup that dries up can mean the heart. And so this can be a love situation that has become dry, a family situation that has become
in some ways not the most fulfilling. But this person has still a goal ahead of them, and they may not, you know, want to give up on that goal. Across the river is a high cliff, and at the top of that high cliff is an oak tree. And the oak tree stands for the ultimate goal, the stability, the life career choices, love choices that are permanent. But the horse cannot get up there, so the knight will turn and go downstream. And there's a little oasis with about a dozen smaller water-loving trees. So what I tell people when this card comes up is your next step will be to refresh yourself, to take off the dust of the road, the things that have been discouraging, bathe, cleanse, and then to find like-minded people, a group of people, not the person who's going to be the ultimate response to your quest, not the person who's going to be, you know, just it's going to be the solution to the problem or the job that's going to be the solution or the solution that's going to be the solution. It's not, that's not happening yet. But there will be a group of like-minded people. And with those smaller goals and good friendships, you'll be able to progress, regain strength at that oasis, travel on around the backside of the mountain until you reach that cliff that was so hard to get straight on. Second part is the card Trust. This is a card that, on the face of it, indicates a court case and may indicate any kind of legal papers to be signed. There
What card was that again? I missed the
Justice.
Okay.
Yeah. So it can be, on, like I said, on the face of it, it can be a court decision or papers to be signed, including non-legally binding papers, but paperwork of some sort. But it also represents restoration of balance. The Lady of Justice holds a sword upright, and she holds a balance beam scale in her hand. And you need to put your life in balance, and also the sword upright stands for decisions which must be made. But you should be calm about it. There are things that will be cast aside, things that will be saved. There is a restoration of balance that has gone away and is going to be put back. One of the things about this card, when we do speak in terms of court, legal, or a paperwork, it can mean simple things such as signing a contract. It does not, or getting out of debt. It's always there's some sort of a written record is associated with this card, even though it isn't always specifically going to court. And the third card is a very nice card. It's a good card. And it is a card called the Ace of Pentacles. And this shows a garden with lilies in the foreground and a hedge of red roses all around. And above, there is a cloud. Coming out of the cloud is a hand. It's the hand of God. And the hand holds a coin and presents it. And running right through the middle of the garden is a path which leads through a beautiful rose arbor and out to a vista of mountains in the distance. So what we see here for your future is that you need to make a protected space for yourself. The lilies are very tender, very symbolic of the sign Cancer in their tenderness. The roses stand for passion, for things that you want to do, things that are about love, but also about protection, because roses always have thorns as well as smelling sweet and being beautiful and fleshy in their color tones. And there is a path through this garden that leads outward. I would say this may be, again, going back to the idea of the oasis, a temporary refreshment or regrouping, and then moving on to a higher goal, those mountains in the distance. You need to secure your finances. The hand of God holding the coin says, pay attention. It's not only about spirituality, but there needs to be some financial work done. And you may be, and I'm not guaranteeing it, but you may be handed some money that was unexpected. And that's my reading on this. Let's pass
Thank
it along
you.
To Miss Aida, yeah, to Miss Aida, and see what she has to say.
Thank you.
Uh-oh, have we lost Miss Aida?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's the Mercury retrograde beyond the reproach.
Hello?
Is that Aida?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, great. I got kicked off the line twice, so I didn't get to hear the reading. I didn't have the opportunity to hear what you had to say, Kat.
Let me just tell you very quickly. It was the Knight of Cups, Justice, and the Ace of Pentacles.
Okay. I got the Knight of Cups also. And as you know, I lay out 21 cards, okay? And I won't go into great depth, but, you know, I see that in the past, you know, there was happiness, but something ended up turning around because of lots of conflict. I saw, you know, wanting to get away from this conflict, wanting to get a rest from it. And now I'm seeing that God is offering you some sort of an opportunity that you're not seeing. And what I'm also seeing is the opportunity that God is offering you is going to offer, also, it's also offering you a balance, an equilibrium, but there's been a conflict in the past that seems to be interfering with your ability to look at what's being offered to you, okay? Spirit also says that you do turn to magic, that you are a very good practitioner, that you do this. I mean, they're showing this twice. And they're saying to stick with the magic that you're doing and stick with your faith. And once you start applying yourself, you know, if you're casting spells as you said you have been, alrighty, I see also you get frustrated that, you know, you want things a little bit sooner or you question your abilities, okay? They're saying to have faith in what you do and to look up and see what you're doing rather than looking away, casting spells, doing spell work, and then wondering and then walking away, okay? You can get what you deserve. I do see celebration coming to you in the long-term future, okay? But you need to be persistent. You need to be determined, and you need to have faith in yourself. I see opportunities around you, but I see that you just don't have faith and you're not looking up. You need to let go of whatever this bad conflict was that happened in the past. You had prevailed before, you will prevail again.
Okay.
Wonderful. All right, now let's turn this over to Ollie, provided he's still on the line during our Mercury Retrograde Memorial Show.
No, I'm still here.
I'm just joking.
Older and off.
And Ollie will give you some root work suggestions.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You've had some great recommendations, and based on those recommendations, here's what I will say. There's two things that I really want you to do. One is a bath, and everyone goes, oh, there goes Contramentally with his baths, but that's because she needs to refresh herself, and it's a great way of doing it. A nice cleansing bath for yourself will be great. Either a bath that is really good would be making a tea out of basil, a little bit of violet leaves, healing of the heart is good at this time, basil, rue, and violet leaves, and then you're going to pour that into the bath itself. This is going to be a soaking bath. You're going to add a little bit of milk and honey to that. And if you want, you can also cover it with some rose petals if you'd like, since roses came up in your reading. This is great for the skin, and it's also a very soothing, cleansing bath. So it's very, very good for you. And you're going to soak in that, and you're going to kind of let all your worries go into the bath. You're going to step out of the bath. You're going to let yourself air dry, gather a bit of the used bath water to dispose at the crossroads. And you can repeat this bath as many times as necessary. I'm sensing 3 to 7. When you go out to the crossroad, also take 3 coins with you. And you're going to go and you're going to ask the spirit of the crossroads to open all roads and bring bring on opportunities for you and to allow you to start fresh. You're going to gather a bit of that dirt, and you're going to come home with that dirt. And what you're going to do is you're going to buy yourself a house fern or some type of plant that you want. This is the hedge that Miss Cat was talking about, okay? You're going to buy some type of house plant. And now you're going to take that dirt, and you're going to take a little piece of cloth, you know, a little cotton would be particularly good, whatever type of cloth you like. You're going to take a little piece of cloth, and you're going to put the crossroad dirt in that. You're going to put a bay leaf. You're going to put five-finger grass. You're going to put cinnamon. You're going to put basil. And you're going to fold that up, tie it up, feed it a little bit of protection oil, a little bit of attraction oil, and then you're going to bury that in the fern, right? You're going to put it at the bottom of the pot of the fern, and you're going to water that fern. You are now putting that prayer, that power, into the living plant. You know, the plant itself becomes your living guardian, your living spiritual protector and aid, and as long as you keep that plant alive, it will continue to bring opportunities for you, it will continue to bring success for you, and it will protect your space and your money. That's very important because you, Ms. Cat, saw that hedge. So using this fern or whatever houseplant you decide, another common one that people use is Diffenbachia, but I like fern for this.
Okay.
You put that fern and water it once a week, pray over it, speak to it, and treat it well. It is your spiritual ally. You do these two things, and you'll successfully move forward in this crossroads and bring in the blessings that both Miss Cat and Miss Aida have seen, okay?
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. And let me ask the question that none dare ask. Is Miss Tammy Lee with us?
Oh. Well, Miss Tammy Lee, can you hear my voice? Miss Cat.
Yes.
Hey, y'all. Hey, well, y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones and text and take our next caller, and I'm trying to get you guys a time right here real quick. Looks like we've got just about roughly 16 minutes left in the show, okay? And we are going to go to, here we go, Serafina, 646. Serafina, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back to the show. Hi. I'm going to go ahead and not trying to rush you through, but Serafina, 646, you had a reading on the air 2 months ago. And you wrote previously, you had called in regarding your mother having issues in the workplace, and she writes and is calling back again today. My mother has issues in her workplace. I want to find out why things like this keep happening to her and what can be done about it. Her patients love her, but gossiping coworkers are always doing things against her, and she has to move to new jobs repeatedly. I believe such gossiping was behind the breakup of love of my life in 2007. She also seems to attract users as friends, and she does so much for others, but also so-called friends never seem to be around when she needs help. I'm trying to get back over to you.
All right. Okay. So, Serafina, we're going to give you over to Ali for a quick reading.
Okay.
Certainly, I can take a look at the situation. I'm sorry to hear about your mother's troubles. You know, and if I understand the question, you're kind of wondering why this is happening to her, why she has these gossiping coworkers and kind of issues, even though she's successful with her patients and whatnot. Is that correct?
Yes, their coworkers, friends, they're always getting in the way of her life, and it's always coming up, especially at work. She has to keep moving from one job to another.
And so, yeah, I'm looking into my carnelian ring and scrying with this, and I do see the image of a person who is a bit beaten down, whose robes are a bit tattered, and who is exposed to the elements. And the exposure to the elements is very important, because in this, in my symbology, when I see the exposure to the elements, it's talking about spiritual chaos, about being attacked and not having the fortitude to beat off that attack or to beat it back. I do see enemies, and I do see them speaking, and I see them speaking, and out of their mouths are serpents, and these serpents are coiling around her feet, and they're building up. This is a very clear situation of what I would say directed malice of evil eye, and it's not just once, but it's building up over and over again. When we get to the root work recommendation, whoever gives the root work, I really would focus on relief, not just protection, but building up the fortitude of your mom, because we all go through spiritual muck through life. Everyone deals with gossip. Everyone deals with it. And the more beaten down you become, the more vulnerable you become to it, and the more exposed, and the more you kind of take a hit. And that's what's going on here. These serpents are building up, that are coming out of people's mouths, and they're causing more and more issues, because it's like a poison that affects, and she carries it with her. She goes to a new place, and there's even more serpents that are added into this, and there is even more of a hole poked into her life. So what I would see as the cause of your mother's condition is evil eye and directed malice that come from people's words and people's envy, and that has been building up and causing your mom, and it's this cycle that's building. Because as she's taking a hit, she gets a little bit more beaten down, she becomes a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more exposed. So then when she moves to another place, she takes it with her, and it happens again. And so there is kind of a two-part problem. It's feeding itself, so to speak. And, you know, the good news, however, is that root work can be done to ameliorate the situation and turn it around for her. But I do see a very strong evil eye, not just from one direction, but multiple sources that are really taking a hit at your mom. And I'll turn this over to my colleagues and see what they see and what they can recommend.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to just say that because of the situation being on the workplaces, that this is classic evil eye work, and that's what I would have said with or without a card reading or a bone reading or palmistry. It has the mark of being an evil eye situation. May I ask what sign your mother is?
She's Aquarius.
Aquarius, okay. And what sign are you?
Capricorn.
Capricorn. Ah. Well, Capricorns make such wonderful helpers to Aquarians and to everyone else. They're just the most helpful sign. My sense of this here is that you don't need a reading so much as you need some instructive way out of this situation for her. The fact that she has coworkers who are jealous, things that are giving her the evil eye situations, and the fact that she attracts users as friends, these are indicate to me that socially she is probably a bit, you know, misplaced, but because she's a socially fair and friendly person, she's not ready to, you know, like get rid of people and get them out of her life. So what I would recommend for her would be more protective work, protection against gossip rather than attack work or revenge work against people who have done that. I think that she needs some form of building up. Once a protection is made, she needs encouragement and to know that things can be strong for her. I know you were also asking about the breakup of the love of your life. We cannot do that. This is a second issue, so I'm going to just tell you that we're not going to be reading on that. It's another story for another time. So I'm going to turn this over to Miss Aida. Miss Aida, what would you think could be recommended to this mother who both Ali and I saw as being torn down through competition, evil eye, and her daughter, the strong Capricorn, wants to help?
Okay. Well, once we, you know, she told the problem, it was obvious to me also that this is a case of the evil eye. And I do know Serafina from the forum, and she's very knowledgeable about root work. In fact, she gives advice. I mean, she's just wonderful. She helps me out a lot. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
And as you know, you know she needs the 13-day bath cleansing. You know that she needs a fiery wall of protection spell kit. You know that she needs a mojo hand, okay? But the situation also is that she's got a lot of negativity around her. She's accumulated a lot of negativity. These people have thrown on her. She's brought it home, all right? I would spray any type of clutter in the house, you know, after the cleansing, blah, 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 with Florida water, okay? Negative energy likes to linger in clutter, and then they hang out with the person. You know, evil begets evil. So if she's feeling down, she's going to bring it back. It's going to go bouncing back and forth, okay? Her self-esteem is obviously at a low, because if this keeps happening, it's human nature that your self-esteem is going to be lowered. And your aura is going to emit a radiance of, I am the type of person that can be taken advantage of, all right? So I would work with Crucible of Courage and Fear Not to Walk Over Evil after
yes,
the cleansing.
Good choices.
Okay. The one thing I want to say is that without the cleansings, and I tell my clients this all the time, all right, it's like not taking a bath for a year and then wearing perfume. You're still going to stink. So take that 13-bath cleansing and then go ahead, you know, do your fiery wall protection and then work with the Fear Not to Walk Over Evil and the Crucible of Courage. She's got to regain her self-esteem, build up her aura, okay, and believe me, things will start changing. And wear the anti-evil eye, the Malocchio. I don't know how to say that in English, Kat, the Malocchio.
Yeah. Malocchio charms, right. There's
yes.
many kinds of charms against the evil eye, and you can read about them at luckymojo.com/evileye.html. That's, yeah.
Can she do the Fatima one?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Can she do the Hamsa one?
I'm sorry, I can't.
The Hand of Hamsa? The hand of
Hamsa? Hamsa hand. Oh, a Hamsa
yes,
hand.
Hamsa,
yes,
the Hamsa, yeah, it has
Hamsa
an evil
hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that is a good way to turn back evil and to seek protection against the evil eye. Hamsa hand, any kind of an eye bead charm, go to luckymojo.com/evileye.html. There will be links to many, many, many things on this topic, and you'll understand it much better when you've read all umpty pages on it, okay?
Okay.
All right,
thank
thanks
you.
A lot, and good luck. All righty, well, we're going to go up to Ms. Tammy Lee, and I think then we're going to have our free spell. So I first want to apologize to the people who did sign up at the end. We started with only one sign up, and now we've got some people we didn't get to. So folks, sign in. Nagashiva will open up a thread for next week, and hopefully next week we'll do better. If nothing else, we'll try to be more technically adept. But, you know, don't think because we didn't get to you today that it was because we didn't want to. We've just been hammered with technical difficulties. So let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. Y'all, we have just about shortly under 5 minutes and 30 seconds remaining in today's show. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each week by Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And we're going to turn this over right now to our special guest member from AIR, Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan, for our free spell session. Miss Aida.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Okay. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, we're here. We're here.
Okay.
We hear you.
I'm paranoid with this retrograde. Skull candle spell. All right, as we stated in the beginning of the show, that we don't want to make things too big, right, because they can catch on fire. So a spell that has been very successful for me is to have somebody, it's a form of a breakup spell, to have somebody repulsed by another. All right, so what I do is I get a picture, three pictures, very small, of the person I want like, say it's my boyfriend. Say it's my boyfriend. I want him to be repulsed by another woman. And say her name is Jane Doe, all right? So I would get three pictures of Jane Doe. And on two of the pictures, I would put, yes, I do work with my dogs, I would put smeared dog feces on these.
Oh, good.
On two of the pictures, okay? Drill little holes with my drill. Or you can actually spoon it out with a spoon, all righty? Or as Ms. Kat has suggested with you know, heating things up. Stick those pictures in so that those are the two, you know, he's seeing the same thing. All right. Cover it up. Remelt the wax that you've carved out and then, you know, seal it up. Then I told you in the beginning that the occipital area, which is the back side of the head towards the top, is the area of the brain where things are interpreted. I would take the third picture, which is, by the way, I want them all cut down to the size of a dime, so you're just seeing the face. Put some really hot pepper sauce on it. I use habanero. Stick that in. So he's seeing a shit person, and he's interpreting, I've got to get away from this person. The back of the head interprets what he sees. All right? Cover that up. You're going to take the candle at this point, and then you're going to baptize it and name it after you've drilled holes, after you've done all of this. All right, you don't do it beforehand. You don't want to hurt this person. And then you're going to just write on the candle. I use a pencil. It's easier. You know, you are repulsed by Jane Doe. Then I'm going to cover the candle up entirely with influence oil. I cannot stress how wonderful this oil is and how effective it is. Now you can put a petition paper underneath if you want, whatever. I talk to my candle just a little bit differently than Conjure Man Ali does. I light the candle, and every hour on the hour, I go to the left ear. You are repulsed by Jane Doe. You are repulsed by Jane Doe. I go to the face. You are repulsed by Jane Doe. You're repulsed. You know, you do this, and then you go to the right ear. You are repulsed by Jane Doe. You are repulsed by Jane Doe. Then you walk over to the back of the head. You are repulsed by Jane Doe. You are repulsed by Jane Doe. And the last time I'm screaming at the back of his head, you are repulsed by Jane Doe. I do this every hour on the hour until the candle burns down. And there you have it. It works. Trust me.
Wow. Wow.
that is a great work.
Phenomenal work from Miss Aida, she of the power drill. That was amazing.
And you with the hatchet and Conjureman Ali of tricky smells.
yeah. Well, we all learn from each other, baby. That's the thing. I've
That's
learned some
it.
Great
Definitely.
Things from both of you today. And I know
Me
y'all
too.
Learned some things. We share these things. Well,
yeah, I had a great time.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee and have her say goodbye quickly.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, thank you, Miss Kat and Conjureman Ali. And thank you, Miss Aida of Detroit, of MissAida.com, brother, of Detroit, Michigan, for being our very special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rootwork Hour. Brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjureman Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, joining me from TripleCrownConjures.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Happy Father's Day. Goodbye.
You did it. Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee.
Thank you
so much, Ms. Aida. It was splendid.
Oh, I had a wonderful time. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you, Conjureman Ali, holding down the fort while I was out in Siberia.
Well, it can't get any worse than this. And you know, in spite of it, this was a great show.
Absolutely.
It was really wonderful, folks. All y'all, come back next week. We'll do it again, and hopefully we'll have some more fantastic spells for you and some great readings. And come back again, Miss Aida. You were brilliant, and we love it.
Fabulous.
All right.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.